I bring you greetings from Sifan Sea, Jersey City. I always say we are the gatekeepers to the big city, Jersey, New York. So greetings from Jersey City. We are together. Amen. We are together. Tuko pamoja, and God is good. Let's pray. Father, we just want to bless and thank your name for this morning. We want to thank you, Father Lord, for each and every one of us that you gathered here to celebrate this day when we remember the day you resurrected from the dead. We thank you, Father Lord. We ask you to bless us and speak to us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter. Oh, yeah, only pastor and a few guys said it. You guys don't have a happy Easter. Happy Easter. The Lord is good. The Lord is still on his throne. Amen. Amen. I want to give you a small testimony before I go to the word that might encourage you. I know the situation that we are facing at this moment, but I want to encourage you a little bit, because when God is about to do something good, the enemy also moves. And when God starts to move, the enemy also rises up. But we thank God because the enemy can never win. Amen? God is always the winner. A few years ago, we moved from, I can see one member of my church here. We moved from where we used to worship from. Pastor knows that place. When we went to that place, our ministry is a bit older than, is a much older ministry than this. Some years ago, when we started our ministry and we moved into that place, it was a very run-down place of the city. Even the building that we went into, I thought before I started using it, I thought it was an abandoned place. But we moved in there, and God started blessing. God started blessing the owners of the place. Their business started growing up. They started. It was a boys' club. They started getting donations. They were almost dying down. They became started getting out of donations, and God started blessing them mightily. And the owners knew God was blessing them because we were there. So the director told me, God is blessing us very much, and I'm going to cut your rent. Thank God. And so he brought it to almost nothing. And God started blessing them, and God started blessing that part of the city. Place that was almost run down, it became one. It's now one of the most expensive places in this nation, downtown Jersey City by the water. And I know God was blessing that place because we were there. Amen? You see, those of you who understand the Bible, when David was moving the ark from wherever it was to Jerusalem, something happened along the way. And the priests, two priests tried to touch it, and God struck them dead. So David was scared of taking it to the city. So one guy called Abinadab said, I'm going to keep it in my house. Everybody didn't want to keep it. But Abinadab said, I'll keep it. David was scared of it, but Abinadab said, bring it into my house. And God started blessing his house. Became so blessed. And it was told to David that men, where the ark is, God is blessing. Amen? Where God is, there must be a blessing, isn't it? Where God's people are, there must be a blessing. Now, the guy of the boys' club, he got so blessed. And he sold off that property, a lot of millions of dollars. And he told me, Pastor, I've sold this place, but we have another more beautiful place behind. Please come and never leave me. He used to beg me, Pastor, never leave me. Pastor, never leave me. But it reached a stage when I felt God wanted us to move into, again, another bad place. Amen? And we moved now to the worst part of the city. Martin Luther, those of you who know Jersey City, it's one of the worst places, and crime was high, and people were being murdered, and drugs, and gangs all around the place. And I remember meeting one of my friends, an old friend I hadn't seen for a while, and I told him I'm moving there. He told me, don't move there. I asked him why. He said, they will kill you. So why would they kill me? God is with me. So we moved in there, and we found this abandoned church. It's a beautiful, beautiful church, abandoned Catholic church. And we asked the owners, can we use this place? They said, no, we'll not give it to you. So we asked them why. Said, why do you want this abandoned place? Said, we'll clean it up. They said, we don't want. Then they said, why do you want to bring your people to this kind of a community? I told him, because God wants to use us in this kind of a community. Amen. And after a while, we moved. I was, to tell you the truth, I was also scared a bit. And but we moved in there. And I remember my first sermon in that building. I told our congregation, God is going to change this place. And I was speaking by faith. And all of a sudden, the city, they came and built an annex just a few blocks from where we are. And all of a sudden, they poured police in the place. There's police everywhere. It's now one of the safest places in Jersey City. Amen? And all of a sudden, people of other communities, the white, the Jews, and everybody, they started moving into the community. Amen? So, why am I telling you this testimony? But as soon as we moved there and God started working, a lot of bad stuff started happening also. We lost some of the key members of our church, and some of them died, some of them lost their jobs, some of them went back wherever they came from. It was a time of shaking, and we were shaking a little bit. But I thank God because your pastors stood with us. Amen. Your pastors stood with us. Pastor Masharia always stood with us. They encouraged us. Pastor Carol, they encouraged us that God may help us go through that difficult time. And where I look at our church, we are still going through. But you know what? At the end of the tunnel, I see a great victory. Amen. So when God starts moving, the devil tries to bring also his issues. But we thank God because he's with us. He said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. Amen. And I want to encourage you that at a time like this, we need to stand together behind the man of God. Amen. We need to stand behind the man of God and hold him up. I've been through these things and I know what it means. If I didn't have people to stand behind me, perhaps I would have staggered a lot. But I had people, I had friends, I had the members of the church who stood behind me. And they said, Pastor, whatever is happening here, we are with you. Amen. Pastor needs to hear that. The leadership of this church needs to hear that, Pastor, we are with you. If you have been coming to church once a month, you need to come three times a month now. Amen. If you have been coming three times a month, you need to come every Sunday. Amen. If you are in the neighborhood and you just stay home on a Sunday morning, you need to come to this church because God is going to do great things in this place. Amen. God is going to move. God is going to do great things. But we have to stand together. We have to lift up the hands of the pastor and the people around him. Amen. You remember Moses when he was at war? Moses reached a stage. The Bible says Moses lifted his hands. And as long as his hands were up, he was winning the battle. But he got tired and his hands went down. And whenever his hands went down, the enemy defeated. Amen. We need to hold the man of God's hands high up. Amen. We need to stand together at a time like this. And I'm telling you, I know what it is. I know the devil can whisper things and try to discourage you here and there. But just remember, our sister Carol is before the throne of God in heaven. Amen. She went to be with her Lord. And we should not stop there. See, when Jesus was crucified, and when he resurrected and he went to heaven, things changed around them. Before that, there were guys, after all, there's Jesus. When they wanted a miracle, wanted food, Jesus will perform the miracle. When they wanted something to be done, Jesus will do it. And I know many of us in this church have been looking at Pastor Carol, isn't it? I'm just imagining. because I know that's what happens. That in a church, you know, you sometimes you just sit back and yeah, let the leader do, isn't it? Let the pastor do, you know. And but when Jesus went, when he died, they first scattered. When they saw him resurrected and he went, they knew it's time to take charge. Amen. They knew we have to do what our master has been doing. That's why guys like Peter, who had been cowards, they became very bold now. They surprised everybody. You know, you guys who had been hiding, all of a sudden they said, hey, Christ is gone to heaven. It's time for us to take the mantle and move on. Amen. Where those one Pastor Carol, I want God to raise up 100 Pastor Carols in this church. Amen. I want you to rise up and stand and say, I'm going to take up the mantle and I'm going to move and work for God. Amen. Amen. That was my testimony. Let's go to the word now. Amen. Amen. God is good, and I'm not going to be long. Today is Easter Sunday, and I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 28. And say a scripture there, chapter 28, and read a scripture there. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. So the day after the Sabbath day was the first day of the week. At dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary went to look at the tomb. And at that time there was a strong earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, went to the tomb, and rolled the stone from the tomb, the entrance. Then he sat on the stone. He was shining as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The soldiers guarded the tomb shook with fear because of the angel, and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He's not here. He's risen from the dead, as he said he would. Come and see the place where his body was, and go quickly and tell his followers, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's going into Galilee ahead of you, and you'll see him there." Then the angel said, "Now I have told you." The women left the tomb quickly. They were afraid, but they were also very happy. They ran to tell Jesus' followers what had happened. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." The women came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my followers to go on to Galilee, and they will see me there." This scripture is talking about Jesus' resurrection. We know that Jesus had a very brief ministry. It was only 3 years, but they were very, very remarkable years. Jesus spent most of his life as a carpenter, in his father Joseph's carpentry. And it's only 3 years that he spent doing the ministry. But he did the ministry so effectively that the religious leaders became very jealous of him. Jesus did things that no other man ever did. He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. He opened deaf ears. He spoke words that no other man ever spoke. That one day, the religious leaders sent soldiers to arrest him, and they came back to the people who sent them, and they said, "Man," they asked them, "Where is the guy we sent you to arrest?" They said, "There's no way we could arrest him." They asked them why. They said, "The guy spoke words that no other man has. You know, we have never had another man speak those words." And the leader said, "Are you also converted?" But Jesus was very special. He was very different. He was not like another person. The Bible says, they said he speaks with authority, because he was the authority himself. The other preachers were just preaching words, but he spoke with authority. And whatever he did it with authority. He was a different type of person. And within this short time, he changed so many lives. And in this scripture here, we find that he has been arrested, and he's been beaten up, and he's been scourged, and He's been spat on and been despised, and he's been done all kinds of things that you can't even imagine. They did a lot of bad things to him that you cannot even imagine. And his followers had scattered, except the women. There's a special thing about women and God in their hearts. Amen, women. Because even, you remember when even that scripture, when we read that, when he resurrected in the morning, who was there to see? The first person was who? Where were the guys? They were hiding. They were scared and they were hiding. But the women, even when he was being taken to be crucified, women followed him weeping. And the guys had gone. You know, Peter said, "No, man, it's enough of that guy. I thought he was, but he's not what he claimed to be. Anyway, I have my family to take care of." They went hiding, they ran away, but the women kept following, crying. Amen. They kept following, crying. And Jesus was beaten and he was spat on and he was done everything evil you can ever imagine. And they meet this guy from Africa. What is his name? Simon, from Ceylon. Ceylon was a city in North Africa. And they meet this guy from Africa, and I believe it's the same Simon in chapter 13 of Acts, because they say Simon the Niger. Niger there means black man. So I believe he was the same guy. After he carried the cross with Jesus, he was never the same. Amen? When you meet Jesus, you cannot remain the same. Many times I'm surprised. The guy tells me, "I've been saved for 5 years." You look at the guy and you wonder, what kind of salvation are you talking about? And they don't want to tell them, "Many, brother, you're not saved." Say, "Oh, pastor, but you're even the one who prayed for me to get saved." Yeah, but I don't see the fruits. Amen? We have to bear the fruits of our faith. You can't be saved and live just like another person. And just live a life like just anybody else. Where the other people go, you are there. What the other people drink, you are drinking it. What the other people do, you are doing the same thing. We are different. Amen? We are special. In us dwells the Holy Ghost. Amen? We are children of the kingdom. We are children of the King. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about it. You know those words, when you read them, think about them. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think of the richest man here. Let's talk about Bill Gates. If Bill Gates called you and said, "I'll put your name in my will. You are a joint heir with my son of all my properties." What does that mean? It means you're a very rich man, isn't it? But we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever Christ is going to inherit, or whatever he has inherited, you and me are going to inherit the same. Think about it. You know, we look at ourselves. See, I always say, you know this movie Simba? Most of us behave like Simba. Simba was a lion. But he didn't know he was a lion. He thought he was a hyena. And Simba behaved like a simple hyena. You know, he ate dead food like a hyena. See, lions don't eat dead things. They kill and eat, isn't it? Simba was being chased around by rabbits. Even rabbits would scare him. He didn't know who he is. And most of us, children of God, don't know who we are. That's why we say things like the world says, you know. We talk before we think. After we talk, then we start thinking. And say, "Oh man, I said that." You know? Simba lost a lot. Amen? He lost a lot. He was a joint heir with his father, Senior Simba. But because he had been raised up by hyena, he thought he's a hyena. He grew like a hyena. Ate like a hyena, slept like a hyena. But we are children of the kingdom, amen? And we should walk with our heads lifted high up. Because Jesus paid the price for us. Think about it. That beating and spitting and kicking and all that he went through. It was supposed to be me and you being done that. Because it's us who had sinned against God. But God got all our unrighteousness. And he imputed it on Jesus Christ. All our filth and all our sin. He put it on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ took the punishment that we would have taken. And Jesus took all his righteousness and all his goodness and all his holiness. And he put it on us. Amen. That's why we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I come from a country where we have kings. And the kings of Uganda, this one who is there is a modern king. So he's like Simba. He doesn't do things the right way. But a Ugandan king, his father, the ones from his father down, they behaved different. When you saw him, you knew that's the king. They could not laugh in public. They had their own things to make them separate from everybody, you know. He could never, the King Mutesa, the Kabaka would never laugh in public. He could be as fun as you want. He just looks. Everything they did is different. The way they sat, the way they walked, the way they carried themselves. Amen? And we are the children of God. Think about it. How should we carry ourselves as children of the kingdom? Amen? Amen. Have you ever found the ambassador of Kenya in a corner bar? You know what do you call them? These small corner stores, you know? Where they have bars there, isn't it? It's drinking places there, isn't it? Have you ever seen the ambassador of Kenya going to drink in those places? I know they are drunkards, but can he go there and drink? He can't! because he's an ambassador. He represents a whole nation called Kenya. So there are places he can't go. He'll go and drink where the ambassadors drink from, where dignified people are. He can't drink in that. You can't find him in a bodega drinking. He can't. But the Bible says we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are the ambassadors. We represent a powerful king, the most powerful government in the universe. We represent that on the face of the earth. I am an ambassador of Christ. So are you. And every ambassador has an assignment he's supposed to do. What is your assignment? My assignment is to preach the gospel. Amen? And I preach the gospel, and I preach the gospel. I preach it. I don't care. I preach it anywhere. Because that's my assignment. But what is your assignment? Some of us, God has assigned us just to support the ministry. Amen? Financially, I'm talking about finance. Oh, man. Pastor, don't talk about finance, please. Some people are saying, I can see some people saying that. Please don't talk about our money. But you know what? Some of us, God has blessed us so that we may bless the ministries. Amen? And then we think, oh, you know, I've got this big job because, you know, I'm very smart. You're not smart. Without God, you're not smart. And anyway, if you are not giving to the church, you're not smart. You know, I've got this job, this nice job, because I'm very smart and very educated. Who gave you the brains? God can start even to blow those brains out today. What would you say? You know, I'm so smart. That's why I am what I am. You are not smart, brother. You are what you are by the grace of God. Amen? We are what we are by the grace of God. I preach the gospel by the grace of God. And after I never wanted to be a preacher. Some of my friends know the story. I never wanted to be a preacher. When God called me, I used to cry real tears. And I knew God has called me. But I used to tell God, no, I don't want God. And then I had my brothers, very nice guys. So I would tell God, those guys are better than me. Pick one of those. Pick one of these guys, man. I don't want. Amen. So here we find, I'm almost, you know, let me go back to the resurrection. Amen. We are celebrating the greatest event that ever took place on the face of the earth. Think about it. Somebody resurrecting from the dead and going where? Birth, many people are born. Even Muhammad was born, isn't it? But Muhammad never resurrected. Even Buddha, and Buddha was here before Christ, by the way. Even Buddha was born. But Buddha, if you go there to his tomb, wherever, if you can find it, you'll find his bone is there. Go make, you know, these guys, some of you are smart guys. I know one guy here is a chemist. The other guy there. If that chemist guy went there and tested the soil there, you'll find Buddha's bones in there. Hare Krishna, whatever. Great philosophers like Socrates. Great emperors like Alexander the Great. I don't know why they call him Alexander the Great. To me, there's only one great person, and that is Jesus. But all those guys, they died, they were born, but none of them resurrected and went to heaven. Amen? And Jesus' resurrection and going to heaven, there was evidence to show. People saw him. People touched him. People ate with him. Amen? And this is what I say. You know, a lot of us, this is what I believe, Pastor. I believe it. That when Christ returns, we shall eat. Amen? We shall eat. When Christ resurrected, you remember they gave him fish, isn't it? He ate fish. He ate with them. And you remember he told them, I'll never drink of this until I come back in my Father's kingdom. So when he comes back, he's going to drink that wine, you know, whatever they were drinking. And he told them, when I come in my Father's kingdom, you will sit with me and eat with me. Amen? That time we will eat, guys, we will eat. And there is no, what do you call that? You know, some of us eat because we fear we eat. We are always starving ourselves because if I eat this, I'm going to become big. But that time, I believe we will eat. Amen? So they ate with him. They touched him. He said, I'm not a ghost. I'm not from Mombasa. And those of you who are not from Kenya don't understand that. Mombasa is known to have ghosts. And especially in Uganda, they tell us all kinds of horror stories about Mombasa. And you know, very few Ugandans, maybe I'm one of the few who have been to Mombasa. Very few Ugandans have ever been to Mombasa. So they tell us scary stories about ghosts, about guys marrying a ghost. And you wake up in the morning and you're alone in the bed and the ghost has disappeared. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. Amen. I am real. Touch me. So he resurrected with evidence. And then the Bible says, when he was going up, there were more than 5,000, is it 5,500 people who went to Mount Olive. Amen. He told them, I meet you at Mount Olive. They went. And while they were there, he was talking to them and he was talking to them like I'm talking to you. He was real. You know, he was having a spiritual body, but he was real. He talked to them and they discussed issues with them. And as they were there, the Bible says, a cloud came and caught him up and he went to be in heaven where he came from. And after that, an angel appeared and told them, as you have seen him go, in the same way he will come. Amen? He's coming. And the Bible tells us he's coming and he's going to land on Mount Olive on the eastern side of the city. And he's going to go through the eastern gate. He's going to march from Mount Olive and he's going to enter the city through the eastern gate. If you go to Jerusalem today, the old Jerusalem, that place, there is a wall. And there has been an eastern gate. There is a gate there. It has been closed for centuries. And even when the Muslims were controlling Jerusalem, they knew that scripture. So you know what they did? They went and built a cemetery. You know, they buried people and built up a cemetery around that gate. Because they know in the Old Testament, the Bible says a priest cannot touch a dead person. So the Muslims were saying, we'll see if he'll be able to walk through that. But they don't know that Jesus is the mass, is the resurrection. Amen? Jesus is the resurrection himself. Nothing can stop Jesus from entering Jerusalem. He's going to march from Mount Olive with his holy angels, with his company, and he's going to enter Jerusalem and establish the millennial rule or reign of Jesus Christ. And for 1,000 years, he's going to reign from the city of Jerusalem. Amen. After that, the Bible says, we don't know what's going to happen, but what I know the Bible, after that, the Bible tells me that he's going to hand the kingdom back to the Father. And he's going to say, Father, I have finished the work that you told me to do. At that time, he's going to do what the devil stopped Adam from doing. Where the first Adam failed, the second Adam succeeded. Adam was supposed to turn this world into a whole paradise. By the end of 1,000 years, Christ will have renovated this earth until it's like paradise. After that, we don't know. But all the Bible tells us, after that, he's going to hand over the kingdom to the Father, and he's going to put himself under the authority of the Father. Amen. Amen. I want to be there. Amen. Amen. I want to be there. Amen. I know Pastor Carol will be there. Amen. I know. She will be there. Somebody said, Pastor, how do you know? Because I observed her life. And her life was lining up with the scriptures. Amen. How do I know that I'm a righteous person? Is because if I line up my life, line is up with the scriptures, then I know. How do I know that you are going to heaven? Because if your life, you are born again, and your life lines up or aligns with the scriptures, then I know you will be in heaven. So I know she will be there. And I want to be there. If there is any place I don't want to miss, it's the kingdom of God. Amen. If there is any place where I want my name to be written, is in the book of life. Amen. I want my name to be written in the book of life. And I believe that the day I gave my life to Christ, my name was written in the book of life. Amen. I'm sure if you went to heaven and you asked one of those angels and you say, ask him, if you go there before me, I assign you. Go when you reach there. I'm giving you an assignment. If you go before me, when you reach heaven, go and ask one of those angels who are in charge of those books and tell him, there was this guy, pastor called Pastor Patrick Chisulef. He told us his name is written in the book. Can I peep and see? You'll find it there. Amen. I know. I believe it. I know it. You can wake me up at 3 a.m. and say, Patrick, are you saved? I'll say yes. I cannot confuse it. I can't say, oh, I don't. There are some people, if you ask them, brother, you say, oh, yeah. They are not sure of their salvation. You have to be sure of your salvation, isn't it? Most of you, if I ask you where you're from, you probably tell me, I'm from Kenya. If I tell you, are you Ugandan? No, don't tell me, like, I'm not those people. Huh? You always know you're a Kenyan, isn't it? If I said, brother chemist, what are you? Are you Ugandan? He said, no, I'm a Kenyan. Because he always know. If I say, are you Ugandan? He said, no, don't confuse me with those people. The thing is, if you are sure of who you are, your nationality, why can't you be sure of your salvation? And the Bible says our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Amen? Okay, let me finish. So here he says this. That scripture we read. The women, they go very early in the morning. And as they are going, some scripture says they were discussing who will remove the stone for us. Who will remove the stone from the entrance? Because the many are not here with us. Imagine, that was a pathetic situation. That the women are going to the grave, but the strong muscle guys are hiding. And the women don't know. They're wondering, who will remove the stone for us? Who will? And they are wondering. But God already had answered them. Amen? Sometimes we wonder, like, and I know a situation like this. Maybe pastor, maybe a lot of things are going through his mind. What will happen? Who is going to handle this? How will this be? When situation is happening, sometimes we wonder. But I want to assure you, pastor, the Lord already has an answer to all your questions. Amen. And I want to assure you, church, the Lord has an answer to your questions. You have to play your part. Stand together. Amen. Stand together. Listen. See, the devil hits when we are at our lowest. Do you know that? The devil attacks when he waits. When you are at your lowest, that's when he attacks. He waited for Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus was fasting 2 days. Jesus, the guy is very strong. The devil says, don't leave him alone. 5 days, Jesus is still okay. The devil tells his demons, leave the guy alone. He'll hit you back. He's still strong. You know, he'll not believe you. So he waited. The Bible says, when Jesus hungered after 40 days, whatever, that's when the devil now told them, it's time to strike. Then he told Jesus, if you're a child of God, are you hungry? Jesus said, yes. And he says, how can a child of God be hungry and all these stones are? Just turn them into food. So the devil waits. When you're at your lowest moment, that's when he hits. If the devil wants to divide this church, this is now his opportunity time. But don't give him that chance. Amen? Don't! Don't! Stand together. Hold each other's hand and fight on. God bless you so much. But anyway, the Bible said, you go home and read that scripture, chapter 28. The women found when God had sent an earthquake. Amen. Shaking everything. God shakes. God can shake anything. He shook the ground, and then an angel came and rolled away the stone, and he sat on it and had a cup of tea. The problems we think are so big. God sends one angel, and that angel sits on that stone, that problem, and behold, after a while, it's gone. Amen. So God bless you so much with those few words.
Let us give God a hand clap for that message of resurrection and power. We thank God for you, Pastor Kisule, because you are a pastor, you have a church, but you decided to be here for us. So God bless you so much, and thank you for the message that you have given us. May God bless you so much when you go back, pass our greetings and gratitude for sacrificing to be here. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap again for the Lord Jesus and for Pastor Kisule. It is time to give. It is time to give. Hey, we are not excited about giving. Okay, so it's time to give. And the ushers have the envelopes. If you are planning to give, ask for the envelopes. If you have a check to write, the checks should be addressed to Kingdom Ambassadors Church or KAC. And I would just like to read from the book of 2 Corinthians 9, from verse 6. As we get ready to give, it says, most of us are familiar with this portion of the scripture. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So as you give this afternoon, give as you purpose. Just the way the Bible says, don't give out of compulsion, but give cheerfully, give not because of need, but give because God gave. God is a giver, and us, we also give. And that's why even today we are remembering the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because God gave us His only begotten Son. And that's why we are here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this opportune time that You have given us to give towards Your kingdom. We thank You, O Lord, for we are not giving as unto men, but we are giving unto You. Thank You for the blessings that You have bestowed upon us, O Father. We are stewards of Your resources, O my Father, and we come here to give because You gave. Father, I worship You even for those who don't have what to give this afternoon. I pray that You may bless them. You may open doors and windows of heaven for them, that way may be a blessing in Your kingdom and for others. We bless You and we worship You, O God. For in Jesus' name we do pray and believe. Amen. The ushers will guide you as you give. Amen.